Green on Sunday, the 4th of July, 2021. If you are a visitor, you're especially welcome, and we look forward to getting to know you better at the end of the service as we hopefully move out into the churchyard for our last hymn, and where social distancing is much easier. But the weather's not looking too promising at the moment. We also say welcome to anyone who's joining us on the live stream, and pray that you too will feel part of our worship together this morning. My name is Alistair Grote, and I'm a member of the church here and have the privilege of leading our service. Our rector, Francis, will be preaching and continuing our series on prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. First of all, shall we quieten our hearts and commit our service to the Lord? Let us pray. God of grace, we open our hearts, minds, and souls to worship you. We pray that we may hear your voice through the preaching of your word. Lord, by teaching us to pray, may we know you better and the hope of eternal life to which you have called us. Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you stand among us as we gather together. We join with Christians across the world to glorify your holy name. Inspire and encourage us through our worship this morning. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We listen now to our first hymn, a hymn of praise and glory to him, O great God, highest heaven. The words you'll find on page 2 of the service sheet, or alternatively on the screen.
O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart, own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me, through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Yes, you did. Oh, great God. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Oh, great God of highest heaven, glorify your name.
Pray, Lord, that you will come into each of our hearts Through your ultimate love and sacrifice on the cross, you have saved each one of us. Your Spirit has given us new life, and your love and grace within us. We thank you and praise you, O great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come before God now to confess our sins and to ask for forgiveness for the times where we have clearly failed to be the people our God would have us be. We read in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." So we seek God's mercy and forgiveness by saying the words of the confession on page 2 of the service sheet or on the screen. So together we say, "Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." Psalm 32, verse 5 reads, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness of sins to all who turn to him in faith, pardon us and set us free from our sins. Strengthen us to do his will and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Paul Davis will now come and bring us our first Bible reading, after which Francis will open God's word for us.
Today's reading is from Ephesians, it's chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of our Lord."
Praying for our church community, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Great to see you this morning. Welcome, church. I pray that God will bless you through today's teaching. Our summer teaching series is entitled "Lord, Teach Us to Pray," and that's our prayer through these weeks in June and July. that God will do just that, deepening our prayer lives. We spent 3 Sundays focusing on Jesus' teaching on prayer. The sermon's available on the church website and YouTube if you missed any. And now we turn to look at one of the Apostle Paul's prayers. And our focus is in what we can pray for one another as a church community. We want the things that we pray to be shaped by a biblical agenda. When we get into the marrow of this prayer, you'll see that the things Paul prays for others are really quite simple. This prayer gives us a framework that we can pray for all Christians everywhere, for ourselves, Christians in our own family. But today, I especially want to apply it to what we pray for each other here at All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green. So let's pray as we begin. Glorious Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, please give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We ask that you enlighten the eyes of our hearts in order that we may know the hope to which you called us. Help us to know your incomparably great power that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. There's a structure for this talk and room to take notes on page 5 of the notice sheet, if that will help you. And if you can have a Bible open at Ephesians chapter 1, that would be good as well. Paul starts by letting his readers know that he gives thanks to God for them. Why does he give thanks? Well, he saw 2 qualities in these people which encouraged him that they were real followers of Jesus. 2 qualities of true Christians. And they're there in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. 2 qualities of true Christians, faith and love. So faith, not just a general faith, not faith in human nature, not faith in a vague, undefined God, but rather faith in the Lord Jesus. That is a mark of a Christian person, faith in Jesus, not faith in religion or church or government, but faith in Jesus. Secondly, 2nd quality is love. Again, not just a vague general love, but love for all the saints, says Paul. By saints, Paul is referring to the ordinary Christian community, the local church. In our case, love for people who make up our community here at All Saints. This means the people sitting around you at this very moment. And it means the people watching online, the people in the church contact directory, the people in your growth group, in your All Saints club group, in 421. Are this kind of faith and this kind of love things that our church is known for? Are they markers of us as a community? Well, I see many signs of faith and love in this church for which I can give thanks, so we can be encouraged by that. Let's strive to be people marked by these 2 qualities. And one way that you can show love for others in the church is by praying to God for one another. So as you listen to this sermon, I encourage you to be thinking, how can I pray these things for others in the church community? Mim Jelfs has produced a new prayer diary for July and August. Copies are available today by the church entrance. And the people who make up our church community are divided across the days of the month. So why not pray the things we find in Paul's prayer today for one another day by day using the prayer diary? That is a simple way to show love, isn't it, for all the saints. Paul prayed that his original readers would know 3 things, 3 interconnected things. So this is a prayer for God-given knowledge, and I've got 3 points to take us through. The first is the longest, and they get progressively shorter. So firstly, pray that we will know God better. Verse 17. Paul prays that his hearers will know God better. It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? What could be simpler? But is it something which you pray for others in the church community? Let me read the verse. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's a great prayer, isn't it? And it doesn't require a university degree to be able to pray this. It's a simple prayer. The Spirit of God is needed, the Spirit who gives wisdom and revelation as to who God is. Now, there's no need to separate Spirit and Word at this point. The Spirit works through God's Word. But equally, the Word without the Spirit is not enough. In my first degree, when I was 1920, went to university after school, I studied a couple of New Testament courses under a brilliantly able academic. But he was an atheist. He knew so much about the New Testament texts. He was a Greek scholar, a published author. He traveled to archaeological sites around the Mediterranean. But he didn't believe that God existed. This was obviously a big challenge for me as a young Christian. And it really caused me to reflect, and it shows that studying the Bible and knowing a lot about the Bible aren't necessarily the same thing as knowing God. Very important distinction there. Paul's prayer is that his readers would know God better. That's the goal. And studying the Bible isn't enough. God's Spirit is needed. Word and Spirit go together. So the kind of prayers that we might make, you know, from this emphasis here is things like, please give your Spirit to us so that we may know you better. Very simple. Please give us wisdom and revelation through your Spirit that we may know you better. Please give your Spirit to Julian or to Nick or to Rachel. Please give your Spirit to my growth group so that we might know you better together. Please give our church family wisdom and revelation so that we might know you better. Just very simple prayers, not complicated, things that we can pray for on a regular basis. It's so simple, but it's also very deep. This prayer shows us that through the Christian life, we can grow in our knowledge of God. There's progress to be made in knowing God. John Piper writes, "It's impossible to know God too well. Being infinite, he's inexhaustibly interesting. It's impossible, therefore, that God be boring." Still on verse 17, let's look at how Paul addresses God. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. What will we know about God when his Spirit reveals him to us? Well, the title by which Paul addresses God gives us some clues. We'll know that he is the God of Jesus Christ. He's the God who is revealed through Jesus and not through some other channel. We will know his glory. He's the glorious Father. Now, what does the word glory mean? It's an interesting word because it's much used but little understood. God's glory is his utter weightiness. It's his profound substance, his splendor, and the brightness of his presence. We want to get to know God better because he's the best thing that there is. There's nothing more wonderful in existence than God. To know him is truly the best thing. To what can we compare God? Well, I don't know what evokes a feeling of awe in you. Perhaps a magnificent sunset, or maybe looking out across the vastness of the sea when you're standing at the coast. Perhaps it's the colour of tropical plants and animals. Or it could be driving a really powerful vehicle, or being inside a huge buzzing factory. Whatever it is, and I just mention those because I want you to try and remember something that's produced a sense of awe in you, that kind of wonder feeling. God's glory is greater than all these things. His glory is greater than the things that he's made. His glory is greater than the things which he has given us the ability to make. These things just give us hints of the maker's greatness. You see, we can only compare God to things inside the system which he's made inside the universe. There is nothing else we can compare him to. But he is far greater than all that he has made. For many people, God is bland and contentless. Perhaps you may think that to experience God would be dull, like being indoors on a rainy day. And sometimes church services can contribute to that sense. Philip Pullman, in his atheistic Dark Materials trilogy, presents God as a worn-out old man. What a dreadful image that is, and so far from the truth. God is glorious. There's nothing better that God can give you than himself. He's the greatest gift that he can give. Asking that we'll know the glorious God better is a prayer for a revolution in our hearts and in the hearts of our church community. Most of you will know about Copernicus. Before Copernicus, Aristotle's worldview was the prevailing paradigm. The Earth was seen to be at the center of the universe, with the stars rotating around the Earth. Copernicus, however, showed that the Earth orbits the Sun. And it was a fundamental revolution in the way that reality was viewed. And from it comes the expression, a Copernican revolution. The Aristotelian view was not actually supported by the Bible, but sadly much of the church of the time held on to it. And it's been used as a rock to throw at Christians ever since. Copernicus's discovery decentered the Earth. And Paul's prayer is about decentering ourselves. To know God better is to decenter yourself, to decenter mankind. It's about understanding that the glorious God is at the center of things, not us. So, developing my graphic that I used last week, most of society, even much Christian society, thinks that humanity is at the center by and large. We think that we are big, and God, if he's even there, is somehow small and on the edge. Maybe he got things going at the beginning, but that was a very long time ago. We're at the center, God's on the edge. Economics is essential. Sunday worship is take it or leave it. In his letter to the Romans, Paul describes sin as exchanging the glory of the immortal God, interestingly, the glory of God, for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles, Romans 1:23. Worshipping and serving created things rather than the Creator. This is the heart of sin and the heart of foolishness, because God is where the glory is. God is at the center of reality. When we view it like this, with humanity at the center, it's like an adult wanting chicken nuggets when dinner at a Michelin-starred restaurant is on offer. God is the best thing that he can give us, and there's nothing better than knowing him. So let's pray that we can know the glorious God better. Secondly, pray that we will know the hope to which God has called us. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We've already read about the importance of faith and love. To this, Paul now adds hope. Faith, love, and hope, three key qualities of a Christian person. This prayer is again asking for knowledge, that we may be able to comprehend and grasp the future hope to which God has called us. And Paul uses this lovely expression, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's a prayer for wisdom and revelation, isn't it? And again, it isn't higher algebra. It's a very simple prayer. But is it on your prayer radar for yourself and for our church community? Undergirding this prayer is Paul's understanding that our greatest joy will be found in God. The hope to which we're called is to experience all God's glory that I've just been trying to bring before you and evoke. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes of the future hope, when Jesus will be revealed from heaven to judge the world. He writes that those who have believed the gospel will glorify Jesus and marvel at him. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. Again, I want you to get rid of any thin and feeble image of God from your thinking. The Bible presents his glory as something tangible, weighty and profound. We'll marvel when we see Jesus. It will be wonderful to see him in all his glory. The last book of the Bible says that God's people will see God's face. And the Bible presents seeing God's face as an utterly awesome event. The only person in the Old Testament who even came close was Moses. And afterwards, when he came back down from the mountain, having encountered God, his own face shone with the reflected glory that came from being in God's presence. So his face didn't shine with God's glory, it shone with reflected glory. And it was so intense that the Israelites couldn't look at him. They asked him to wear a veil to cover the brightness of his face. Just think about that. That was only the reflected glory. What's it going to be like to see God face to face? The thing to pin your hope on, your future hope, is to pin it on God. Not more special effects in our films. Not greater global exports. Not a win against Denmark next Wednesday. Not the return of tea and biscuits after church. No, the future hope is God, the glorious Father. He is the prize. We will be his glorious inheritance, says verse 18. This means that we will be his treasured and chosen possession. We have a destiny beyond this life. By nature, Paul tells us in the next chapter, Ephesians 2 verse 3, that we are by nature, in and of ourselves, objects of God's wrath. But by our inclusion into Jesus Christ, through faith in his saving death on the cross, we are changed from being objects of wrath to becoming part of his glorious inheritance. What an incredible change comes through faith in Jesus. So pray for your brothers and sisters in the church family that we will know this future hope, the hope of God's glory. Thirdly and finally, pray that we will know God's great power for us as believers. Verses 19 and 20. This power, according to Paul, is like the power of God's mighty strength. He describes it as incomparably great. As creator of the universe, God is stronger than anything that he has created. And this power is for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God's gospel. As an example of God's great power, Paul points to him raising Jesus from the dead. By the same power, verse 20, God exalted Jesus to his right hand in the heavenly realms. And by this power, verse 22, he placed all things under Jesus' feet. Paul's prayer is that his first hearers will know this power in their lives. And that's a great thing for us to pray for one another. So we're to pray that we'll know the hope of the glorious inheritance in the saints, the hope of heaven. But how can we know that we will really enter into this in the future? How can we have confidence? How can we have faith and belief that this is really going to happen for us? The answer is because we can have confidence that God is powerful enough to defeat any evil that might prevent us. God has given objective evidence of his power in raising Jesus from the dead and in taking Jesus bodily up to heaven and to his throne. This is the evidence for us. The apostles saw Jesus after he came back to life, and they saw him rise up into the sky on the day of his ascension. These are not things that happen in regular everyday life, are they? People don't routinely come back to life after they've been dead for two nights. They don't lift off into the air without a jetpack. In Jesus, we see the power of God at work. And this gives us confidence that the same power that raised Jesus can follow through on his promises to give us a glorious inheritance. God's working out his plan, bringing everything under the rule of Jesus. Rule over the church and rule over all the powers in the universe, including all the evil powers in the universe. In Jesus, we see evidence of God's power. So we are to pray that we will know God's great power for us as a church, a power that can carry us through to the final future hope of the glory of his presence. Well, we're coming to the end, so let me just finish with a summary. Let us strive to be a community marked by faith in Jesus and love for one another. These are signs of real life, real Christian life in a person. And please pray for our church community as a whole, and for individuals and for families in our church. The new prayer diary is a useful tool to help you do this. And here we see three things to pray for. Pray for one another, that we will know God better, know the hope to which God has called us, and know God's great power for us as believers. Well, let's pray now. I'll give you a moment of quiet for you to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Glorious Father, we ask, please, that you will continue to make us a community marked by faith in your Son Jesus and love for his followers. Please give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. Please open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the future hope to which you call us. Please may we know your great power for us, which can take us into this promised inheritance. We ask these things for your glory and not our own. Amen.
Thank you very much, Francis. An axiom tells of that joy and contentment of leaving behind the worldly desires and riches of this life and knowing Jesus better, all I once held dear. Come now to the point in our service where we remind ourselves what we and what Christians throughout the ages believe as the essential truths of our Christian faith. So shall we stand and say the Apostles' Creed together, the words of which are on page 3 of the service sheet. So together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Linda will now lead us in our prayers of intercession.
We start our prayers by saying together the collect, which can be found on page 3 of the service sheet. We say together, Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we come to our prayers of intercession this morning, we reiterate Paul's prayer from Ephesians, asking that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened to know for ourselves the hope to which God has called us, and to remind ourselves of his incomparably great power for us who believe. Lord, help us to know you better and increase our faith. We bring before you the needs of our world, so many needs, many of which we are ignorant of, or perhaps too preoccupied with our own worries to consider. We read in Genesis that as the creator of our world, you saw that all that you made was very good. There are ongoing concerns about global warming, and in recent days we hear of deaths in Canada due to extreme heat and subsequent wildfires, mudslides in Japan. We pray for those bereaved, injured, and destitute. Help us all to selflessly play our part in protecting and preserving what you created for us. During this global pandemic, we remember the numerous countries without access to healthcare and vaccines. And we are again reminded that globally and nationally, it is the poor and vulnerable who have been most affected. We pray that governments will be altruistic in providing vaccines and the means to distribute them effectively to those in greatest need. We give thanks for the Russell family and their witness and work for you in Iraq amongst the Kurdish people over many years. Thank you for their protection during many times of political instability. We thank you for the encouragement we have, hearing of new believers and the impact of Scripture. We continue to uphold them during times of organizational change, asking that both Sandy and Kirsten will have a clear vision of your future for them. Help us to develop a real love for our Christian brothers and sisters globally. Just a cursory reading of the latest publication from Release International reveals persecution, imprisonment, and martyrdom of believers in India, Nigeria, Pakistan, Indonesia, and North Korea. Paul exhorts us in Hebrews to remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Lord, we ask that we do remember them and do all we can to support practically and in prayer those organizations who are helping to alleviate their suffering, lobby for release, and to sustain their families. We bring our nation before you, asking for forgiveness for our complacency, for forsaking our Christian heritage and denying you in so many ways. We thank you for our Queen Elizabeth and her faithful Christian witness and service over so many years. For all those in national and local government, we pray for integrity and wisdom, and ask that those Christians who hold office may be bold and courageous in their influence and witness. And now we pray for ourselves. Lord, we give you thanks for our church family here at Fordham and Etash Green, especially for Francis and his leadership and teaching. We do pray that over the summertime there will be opportunity for him and the family to have a good time, a good holiday and time of rest and renewal. And as we look to regroup and return to our previous normality, hopefully in September, we pray that we will be bonded together to serve and witness to you within this community. Especially at this time, if it is your will, we pray for new helpers to enable the work here to flourish and develop. Heavenly Father, there are many here in person or listening today for whom life is particularly challenging at present. We name before you Christopher Barnett and his family. We do thank you for the life of Marlies and pray for Christopher as he now faces a new chapter without her. Grant him your peace and comfort. We pray for Barbara Jones, Lord, in France. We ask for healing and your presence and comfort with her and support for her family. There are many other worries that are shared with a few or known only to you, and in a moment of quiet, we lift them in our hearts before you now. Finally, again from St. Paul, as we go out into this week, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. And we now conclude our prayers as we say together the Lord's Prayer, which again is printed on page 3 of the service sheet. So we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, in a few minutes' time, we're going to move into the churchyard to sing a hymn together. I've taken a rain check, and it looks like we're good to go, which is fantastic. Please stay in your seat until a steward invites you to leave. After the service, the three horseshoes will be open for tea and coffee if you would like to connect with others in the church family. It's really great to see you all this morning, and for any new people here, welcome. And we have a welcome card, which I invite you to fill in so we can get to know you better. It's on the table at the entrance. Some items of church news. This week, Babies and Toddlers is running on Tuesday from 9:30 in the John Owen Barn. The care team are meeting on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, the midweek coffee break will be on Zoom at 10:30. And this is a good opportunity to connect with others through Zoom. The link has been sent out to the church community in the Friday email. Growth groups are meeting this week. And on Friday, the community hub, including the post office, will be open as usual from 11:45 at the John Owen Barn. And that evening, 7:30 p.m., the 41 youth group is meeting. There'll be games and craft and tuck shop. And we're going to continue our study of the story of the Bible from creation to new creation. Further details are in today's notice sheet. Next Sunday will be an all-age service, and we look forward to Ayla Gage joining us to give the teaching. We continue with the theme, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, and the service is entitled Peace in Every Land, Salvation in Every Heart. With God willing, the COVID restrictions coming to an end this summer, we'd like to have a celebration Sunday at the beginning of September. And Rachel Gage is organising a meeting on Zoom to start planning for this. We'd like to have a lunch and activities after the church service. So if you'd like to get involved, do please email her. Obvious core things will be planning the food and setting up the JOB, arranging activities for children, youth and adults. But you may have further ideas. And the planning time will be on Zoom, Wednesday the 14th of July, 7:45 p.m. So as we prepare to move into the churchyard, when we're outside, please stand with the people that you're sitting with. They're in effect your group for this time. There should be a 2 meter gap between each group, and you'll need your service sheet so that you have the song lyrics with you. We say farewell to those who are watching online, and may God bless your week and enable you to stay faithful to Him through these days.